4:30 on Downtown Monday afternoon. Time for a little hockey talk, Bruins specifically here, as we welcome in Ty Anderson from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty. How are you today?
Hey, Rich. How are we doing? Happy belated Thanksgiving to everyone out there, including yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. We were chatting there during the break. Both got to enjoy the best kind of Thanksgiving, which is low-key, not too much travel.
Yeah, not too much travel. And my days of going to malls at midnight or any time during Black Friday have officially passed me by, and I'm happy to report that. So, you know, it's always nice. It's interesting because Bruins played on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So not much of a break, but again, just having a Thursday off this time of year feels really rare. So it was nice to enjoy it with some friends and family for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm sorry to say that the Bruins didn't make either of our holidays any better with some rough play of late. What's going on with this team the last couple of games?
Yeah, I just think you're seeing a true bottoming out in terms of their commitment to team defense, the details that have made them so good. And, you know, when those things happen and you're not getting the superhuman goaltending either from Jeremy Swayman or Linus Ullmark, I think both played well in the losses, but not enough to overcome, you know, the miscues elsewhere, you know, that we're talking about defensively. And again, offensively, this team, power play can really dry up on them at times. And I think you saw a little bit of everything that's worrisome, you know, both Friday and Saturday, things that you talk about being potential roadblocks for this team. I think you saw them in both games, and sure enough, two losses for the team.
Jim Montgomery, after the Rangers game, talked about the fact that he thought they were very impatient in the offensive zone.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can kind of see, you know, this team, when they're not at their highest level, you're seeing guys pressing. You're seeing guys being stubborn, trying to force things that aren't there. You know, versus waiting for that, maybe, you know, that higher percentage look. You know, that's kind of been the MO of Jim Montgomery's system since becoming head coach of this team. It's that it's about quality over quantity. He would rather them have 20 great shots, you know, versus 45 shots, and let's say six of them are good, and the other ones are just low percentage. So that's something he's been big on, and it comes to light when they are not winning games and when they are struggling to score. You know, to keep pace, rather, with the other team, you know, Detroit, New York, two high-flying offenses, obviously. So you can see why he feels that way after these two losses.
What's interesting, too, sometimes the little things make a difference. I was looking at some of the numbers from that Rangers game, and Bruins did a terrible job on faceoffs.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's been a rarity for them this year. You know, both Zaka, Beecher, and I believe Coyle, or I want to say they're all top 50 in the league right now in terms of face-off percentage. So that was a rarity, you know, for this team this year. And that kind of, you know, that's always been their strength, going back to Bergeron and Krejci. And even Nosek, you know, he was great on the face-off dot last year. So when that abandons them, you know, it really forces you to play a perfect game elsewhere. And I've said this before, this team is not built to play perfect hockey. Like, they have imperfections. They have holes on their roster. So they need, you know, the roots of their game to be there every night. And if they're not there, they're going to lose. You know, and the roots that I'm talking about here are winning faceoffs. It's playing tight defense. It's having good gap control and getting great goaltending. And really, they didn't get any of those things, I thought, this past weekend at all.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, speaking of the defense, as you take a look at this team, who do you think is the best option to be out there beside Charlie McAvoy?
You know, I have to go with Matt Grizzlick, and it's simply because I don't like the load-up of putting Lindholm and McAvoy together. I think they're very good together, but I think it hurts your depth overall. And so, you know, I think that Grizzlick is the guy to put right there. Now, is that the guy to put right there, you know, on a four-round playoff run? There's enough data there to say that probably not, right? You're going to have to mix and match a little bit. But I don't like the load-up, and I don't like Derek Forbert playing those top pairing minutes because I just think it exposes him a little bit too much. It's not a fit that I'm necessarily crazy about. They tried it Forbert's first year here, the first, I want to say, 2 months of the year he's playing with McAvoy, and it just wasn't a great fit. So I think you got to go Grizzlick now. You'd love it to be Mason Lowry, but I think we learned that he's not ready for those kind of minutes just yet. So I think in the meantime, you know, until you find a better option, I think Matt Grzelcyk is the best way to maximize your top pairing, but also your defense as a whole.
You've got a new piece up this afternoon at 98.5thesportshub.com. Could the Bruins really have some interest and be in on the talks for Patrick Kane?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, who I consider to be probably the best source in terms of insider information and whatnot, did a podcast today with Jeff Merrick, and they were actually talking about the Bruins and Patrick Kane with a few league sources telling Elliot that he thinks that Boston has poked around and try to see if they could make this work. Kane is a free agent. It doesn't cost a draft pick. It only costs money. Now, the problem is the Bruins don't really have a lot of money. You know, it would have to be close to the league minimum, barring a trade. So Kane would have to want to be a Bruin. And he's going to have no shortage of suitors here. You know, Detroit, Florida, his hometown Buffalo Sabres. You're also hearing some teams like Dallas, Toronto even. So he could go back to the Rangers, too, for that matter. So there's a lot of suitors here. I don't know if they can get it done, but it kind of speaks to what they may be looking for here. Some scoring, some more power play juice, and maybe another winger to take some pressure off David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand and Jake DeBrusk.
As you point out, too, in your piece, the cupboard's a little bare going forward, particularly when it comes to draft picks.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't have a first-round pick this year. They don't have a second-round pick until 2026. They don't have a third-round pick. They traded their seventh. They traded the 2025 fourth-round pick. And to be honest with you, Rich, I'm not trading any more picks. I think you have to hit a point where you say, okay, we need to stop robbing from tomorrow to pay today. They went all in last year. It didn't work. But now you have to sort of ease back on that. If you want to make a hockey trade, you know, trade a couple prospects for a tweener for a sure thing, yeah, go for it. But as far as trading draft picks goes, you gotta pause it for a little while here. You gotta restock the cupboard a little bit, and that's why Patrick Kane makes sense for them, because it's, like I said, it only costs money. You're not worrying about, you know, trading a second round pick in 2026 or what have you. So, and you look around the league, like, that may be what the going rate is for a scorer, you know, to help your middle six somewhere. Like, you know, if you want Anthony Duclair, it's going to cost you a lot, I think. So that's why I think they are interested in Patrick Kane, is because it alleviates some of the worries there of stripping away more and more draft picks from your franchise, you know, future.
The Blue Jackets tonight, they've been struggling early on. Is this just what the doctor ordered for the Bruins?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this next schedule in general really is, you know, you look at, yeah, you have Toronto this Saturday, but beyond that, it's Columbus, it's San Jose, it's Arizona. Like, this is a get-right stretch of the schedule for the Boston Bruins. And, you know, but it's got to begin in their own end, right? You got to get better goaltending. You need to have better defense. Better commitment to team defense, I think, is a big thing, you know, in terms of the odd man rushes and the defensemen that have just been able to shoot at will on this team of late. You know, so I think that that's where you're looking. But, yeah, this is definitely a stretch of the schedule here where they should bank away some points and, you know, kind of repair their confidence a little bit. But the Blue Jackets got some young talent, so you can't sleep on them totally.
I wonder if for Jim Montgomery, from his perspective as a coach, if these last couple of games might have been a good thing. That maybe you need a couple of those to remind everybody that you can't mail it in. You've got to focus on the fundamentals.
Yeah, and I would also say that I think this team, you know, they need to go through some things like this. You know, last year I thought it was a little bit too easy for them. You know, last year they didn't really have much in terms of adversity. They kind of steamrolled the competition there for a while. And, you know, I think it kind of bit them at the end of the day where they, you know, when they got popped in the mouth in the playoffs, they were stunned. And they didn't know how to respond because it was so foreign to them. So I think that if you're a Bruins fan and you want them to be, you know, the best team in the league, 130 points, I think you're crazy. You know, like, you want some slumps. You want to find out who you really are, right? Because if you ride the high all year, you know, as soon as you get low, I think you kind of say, okay, what's happening? Why isn't this working right now? So I think some adversity is good for them, and I think it makes them face some realities about their team and where they may be lacking, you know, between now and game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
We're getting close to the quarter pole of the season here. What teams have impressed you so far, Ty?
Yeah, you know, I got to say Florida, you know, really impresses me because I was not in love with their offseason. I didn't love it. I thought that they needed a high-impact defenseman. And what they did is they brought in Mike Riley, who they lost to waivers, you know, former Bruin, now with the Islanders. And they brought in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And, you know, they let Radko Gudas walk. Mark Stahl left. Like, those were some losses, I thought, you know, for them as a team. And to see the way they're playing right now, to see that Bobrovsky is kind of back to being the Bobrovsky of old, really impressive. So I have to say Florida for sure. If you just, again, just looking at what they lost and what they brought in, definitely surprised that they've been as good as they are. And, you know, out in the West, I would say that Colorado. I didn't know what to think about them, you know, in terms of they were so good 2 years ago when they won the Stanley Cup. And they lose Nazem Kadri. You know, they switch out the goaltenders. And, you know, I was kind of like, okay, what's going on here? But their high-end talent is just incredible. Between Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, and Nathan MacKinnon, like, keep in mind, they don't have Landeskog either. Like, you know, he's done maybe forever. You know, but this team is still a team that can score goals on you. So I think those two teams maybe I knew they were good. I didn't know if they were as good as they've looked so far. It's been really impressive.
Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, talking Bruins with us here on Downtown. Ty, thanks as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.